Now, first reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's verses 1 to 13.
I may be able to speak the language of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understanding and all secrets, and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith I need to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have, and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. These are inspired messages, but they're temporary. Their gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were those of a child. Now that I've grown up, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I now know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Thanks be to God.
Now, second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30.
All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you are heard it being read." They were all well impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words that he spoke. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I'm sure you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You will also tell me to do here in my hometown the same things you heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this," Jesus added, "prophets are never welcomed in their hometown. Listen to me. It is true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread through the whole of the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel, but only to a widow living in Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreadful skin disease who had lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha. Yet not one of them was healed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with anger. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of the town, and took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built. They had meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. Thanks be to God.
So here we are, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He'd been off in the desert and tempted by Satan. And God had filled him with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had gone to the synagogue, his local synagogue in his hometown. And there, sat amongst the elders and the men of the synagogue. One of the things that we were able to do when I was training for the ministry was to go to a Reformed Jewish synagogue on Saturday, one of our training weekends up at Oak Hill. And it was quite an interesting experience, because worship in the synagogue today has not changed very much from the time Jesus went to worship. And I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity of going and seeing inside a synagogue or going to worship. It's certainly different to our worship here. Firstly, the women aren't allowed in, they're kept out, and they normally have to sit in most of the traditional synagogues. They sit separate from the men, sometimes behind a screen or in the balcony. But the synagogue's laid out in a much nicer way, I think. They have a central platform in the middle, and all the seats are around. The other thing that is quite noticeable in the synagogue, for those that have been, as the ritual and the chants and the psalms are sung and everything carries on, everybody sits round chatting, and there's movement, and people are moving in between the seats, and some people are turning round and chatting. And I have to say that at that point, I found it quite, well, it was like a bit strange, because we were trying to listen. Fortunately, worship was in English and not Hebrew, so we could follow what was going on. But there was all this little background chatter all the time, until it came to the point of reading the scripture. And the rabbi would then get up, because at that point the cantor or worship leader had been leading the worship, and the rabbi would get up and they would take the scrolls from their holy place, normally behind a curtain at the front, and they would parade them round the synagogue and then take them up onto the dais, and somebody would be invited to speak. Well, this is what happened with Jesus, quite why Jesus was chosen to read from the scroll, but he did. And he read from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And the scroll would have been closed and paraded back round and put into its holy place, and Jesus took his seat. And you can just imagine, or try and imagine, that scene that Luke describes to us. See, normally the rabbi would preach, but there was silence, and everyone had their eyes fixed on Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to preach. This was definitely unusual, not your normal Sabbath worship. And as he began to preach, all those gathered started to get excited. They talked to one another. The chatter started up. This is Joseph's son. But as Jesus began to preach, he was beginning to say things that they were not happy with. And Luke tells us that this wonder and this surprise of all those gathered began to turn to anger. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. They felt ashamed. Where were the prisoners? Where were the poor? Where were the broken-hearted? Physician, heal thyself. I'm sure the crowd there must have expected Jesus to perform some miracle. But he'd said no. A prophet is never welcome in his hometown. And suddenly that wonder and that amazement had turned to anger. And I found a little clip which shows us what it was like in the synagogue and what happened as the elders and the people in the synagogue turned against Jesus. As the crowd took him out, took him to the edge of the cliff, for they wanted to kill him. And yet the love that Jesus had was stronger than their hate and their anger. Jesus was able to walk through the crowd. No one was able to touch him. Jesus' proclamation that the kingdom of God was at hand, and the poor would inherit it, and the hungry would be filled, and that the prisoners would find release. The lame would walk, the blind would see. And yet when we look round so many of our churches today, in some ways we are no different to the crowd in the synagogue. Jesus proclaimed this was the year of the Lord's favour. But where was it? And where is it today? Well, we see it so often on our TV and the news and in our newspapers. So many places in our world where there's still anger and hatred, fighting, racism. A world where they're still poor and hungry and homeless. And perhaps we feel it more so now today with the cold weather and thinking of those who are sleeping rough, those who have nowhere to call home. Jesus was homeless. Jesus was poor. Jesus was often hungry. Are we prepared to feed him, to home him, to heal him? Amen.